Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
For the first Fat Guy show of the new year,
yay,
we have Texas Chainsaw 3D. We're going to be talking about Promised Land and The Impossible. You can guess which one we weren't sent a screener of for award consideration. There's also a listener email plus DVD and Blu-ray reviews. But first of all, how was your new year?
It was pretty crazy.
Was it crazy?
Yes. You know, the whole holiday thing. We've been traveling around. And so it's nice to be back and kind of settled back in. How about you?
for the whole grind to start again?
Yeah. You know, it's actually kind of a relief to get back to it.
I'm just glad there's
after the holidays.
No more holidays. No more family visiting.
Oh.
No more apocalypses happening.
Did
I say that? Is that the proper... Is that the proper plural?
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. No more end of the worlds coming around.
No more cliffs.
Yeah, and yeah, you had a good Christmas, and we're all resolved from that. Did you get any good Christmas gifts though?
I got an ice cream maker, which now I know that you have one.
And why am I not eating ice cream right now? That is my question.
It's too messy in here, but you can have some afterwards.
Okay.
That's your reward for being a good boy.
What kind of, excite me here, what kind of ice cream are we talking about? What'd you make?
Well, first we started out with a strawberry cheesecake.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And then we went on to a cookies and cream.
Ooh.
So we have like 20 gallons of ice cream in our freezer right now that has to be eaten within the next like week or two. So grab a spoon.
I'll be over.
Okay.
Okay.
Bring the kids.
The kids will definitely, we have an ice cream maker. We made mint chocolate chip.
Oh.
And it's they wanted it to be pink because it was Christmassy.
Nice. What's wrong with green?
The greens, that's everybody does green.
Oh, okay.
Let's do mint chocolate chip from it with pink.
Okay.
But no, it's really good. But of course, it's expensive.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like $15 to make your own ice cream by the gallon.
You can buy it for two.
Yeah, it's
or
way
you can
cheaper.
Take the spend $15 and do all the work.
Yeah, because my thing is like I had to buy like vitamin D milk, and then I had to buy like half and half of that.
And then the heavy whipping cream.
That's like $9 right there.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And then you have to have your ice maker running for like 3 weeks just to get enough ice. Although we did have snow.
Yeah.
So that was good. We supplemented with snow.
Well, and where we live, which is Columbus, Ohio, you know, they don't understand. This town, they just don't understand. It snows every year. A couple times.
Well,
usually.
Yeah. Not
they
last year.
Forget
but
it.
Usually,
yeah. But they forget. So they like have enough salt for like that first snowstorm, and then the stores are out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
they
just,
don't understand.
But yeah. So but
they
there
also
was,
don't understand how to drive in the snow. But that's a whole different topic for another day.
I was driving the other day, and they're like, you can tell people are like, and they're like, you can tell in their mind, they're like, there's snow on the ground. I'm like, it's not on the road.
Yeah.
It snowed 3 days
there's
ago. The road's
stuff.
Clear.
I don't know what this is.
I can see it on the road. It's on the road. It's on somebody's driveway.
You know, whenever that happens, I feel like such an old person. You know, when I was a kid, we used to drive through 2 feet of snow all the way to school, and we would plow through in my Volkswagen Rabbit. Yeah.
I lived
in Michigan where we had snow.
I am not good with other people on the road when I drive.
No.
And then throw snow in there, it's even worse.
Yeah.
But you know what? Speaking of the ice cream, and this is why it's important. This is why I'm going to come over to your house.
Okay.
Apparently, I heard that there's a news story that was going around this week that being overweight may actually help you live longer.
Well.
So I'm living until I'm like 400. That's
okay.
All there is to it because I've got enough extra pounds.
It is my New Year's resolution to become fatter.
You should.
Year, so. I will work on that.
Become fat.
You know, I got an ice cream maker for Christmas, so there you go.
Quit failing on the fatness.
Yes.
Speaking of fat, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Real quick, we're going to talk about the box office numbers. We both said that Les Mis would win. I said it would have a $500 million dollars over the 18-day weekend. You said $500 million dollars plus one,
yeah.
Which means I actually win this one.
Right.
Because...
Hey.
I was closer. It, in fact, did not win. It came in third with 27, which isn't bad for the weekend.
No.
That's not bad. But The Hobbit stayed on top, $32 million. It's at $222 million now.
Yeah.
And it's at
what
like $700 million worldwide going into this weekend.
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty good. So all the naysayers out there, and you can tell like Box Office Mojo doesn't want The Hobbit to do well because it's like, well, this doesn't mean it's going to make $1 billion.
Yeah, it probably will.
That's how I think of Brandon, what's his name?
Is that how he talks?
That's how he talks in my head. He talks like a cartoon dog.
Nice. And I'll love him and squeeze him and name him George.
No, yeah. The Django came in second with $30 million, which is really good. That was after Christmas. It's made $63 million total over since it opened. And Les Mis actually did better, but it's dipped below and Django's back on top.
Now, these next two numbers actually make me kind of happy.
What?
It just makes me laugh.
Parental Guidance making $15
million? Parental Guidance beat Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Well, but Jack Reacher already had a weekend going in. So
but it didn't have a great weekend.
No, it was Parental Guidance at 15, Jack Reacher at 14, and then This Is 40 at 12.5 million. It's only made $36 million.
Take that, Judd Apatow.
That's right.
That's because
your stupid wife.
That's because we told people not to see it.
That's right. We are the most influential voices in film.
Yes.
Lincoln is still chugging along with. Excuse me, it made $7.3 million this last weekend. The Guilt Trip at 6.7 with only a measly $21 million. I like that movie.
I did too.
So sad. Monsters, Inc. and then Rise of the Guardians, which is only at $90 million. But you know what? It's made over $165 million overseas.
That's not bad. It's doing well.
Yeah.
And I'm
so
happy about that.
It's not going to be a bomb. And of course, Skyfall hit $1 billion.
Yes.
Which is awesome. So. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies. You can give us a voicemail or leave us a voicemail. I always say that.
You do.
Leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can visit us on the web at fatguysofthemovies.com, or you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I am KDK Reviews. And you can find me at nightsandweekends.com or realdiscovery.org.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, since it's that time of year... For
that time of year.
Crappy horror movies to come
Ooh,
out.
Ooh, January.
Let's talk about the first film on our list. That's Texas Chainsaw 3D. Leatherface's cousin unknowingly stumbles onto the murder house from the 1974 original slasher film.
You know anything about this place?
Just the address.
It's caged by frail and fragile bars.
Wow. What exactly did Granny do for a living?
I have no idea. I just learned about her yesterday.
The beast in me. Beast in me.
This movie was not given to us for award consideration.
I know, that's so strange.
For any consideration. Did anyone get a screening of this? Anywhere?
I doubt it.
I don't even think the director's mom got a screening of this. I'm sure Leatherface didn't even get a screening of this.
Poor Leatherface. You would think that they would invite him to things like this.
So misunderstood.
I know.
They would probably have to scan him
first.
Him
and his chainsaw.
He comes in with a pocket knife. They're like, yeah. He's like, it's a pocket knife. Apparently he talks just like that guy from Box Office Mojo. It's a pocket knife. It's a comic book.
Oh, Kevin's doing the voices this week.
That's right. That is how excited
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Are you going to even see Texas Chainsaw?
No.
I love it. You're just like, what?
No.
Seriously? I have a child now. Yeah. I don't need to see this nasty movie. You're not getting all church lady on me, are you?
No. Just don't have the time or the energy.
Have you ever seen any Texas Chainsaw movie? Oh, she's thinking.
I'm thinking.
She's like chronicling all her drunk, youthful nights.
I don't know that I've seen one all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's only really one good one.
I am aware of that.
The original from 1974. They did like four movies. They did Texas Chainsaw, which is fantastic. Texas Chainsaw 2, which is kind of a mess.
Mm.
Kind of insane. I just watched it this last Christmas. Not Christmas. Because holidays. No, it was Halloween.
So crazy.
And Texas Chainsaw 3 was...
Nothing says Christmas like chainsaws.
That's true. Mm. I say it all the time. And
Nazis.
Nazis. Christmas and Nazis.
Yeah.
And chainsaws.
Chainsaws.
But... then they did three, and then four was – it's worth watching four, just what the cinematic mess it is, and it stars Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey before they became famous.
Awesome.
It's actually worth watching.
Sign me up.
Four is insanely stupid as it is. And then they remade it, which was terrible.
Now that it's January, we can watch stuff like that.
Yeah, so –
you know, we've been so busy watching stuff that's important.
It's in 3D. You're going to see, like, chainsaws and blood body parts.
Blood in 3D.
Yeah. And maybe that Daddario girl, what's her name, Alexa Daddario, maybe she'll be in a tight shirt through most of it.
She probably will. So it'll make it worth seeing for you.
It'll be in 3D. that's a plus for me.
And you have new glasses.
I do.
You can see the glasses.
Thank you. Kristen gave me these awesome 3D glasses for my birthday. Anyways, we got to go to a break. That one gets us preemptive suck from us. When we come back, we're going to talk The Impossible and Promised Land.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me.
Yay. We just got done talking about Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yes. And actually, I did want to take a little more time to thank you again for the wonderful Christmas present. There are these 3D glasses that are professional. And they got a nice lens that doesn't darken the image.
Now, I have had these glasses for a couple of years now, I think, and people always mock me for them. I come into the theater, and I have my little case, and I unzip it, and I pull out these glasses, and everybody's like, oh, you've got fancy 3D glasses. I'm like, yes, and try them.
Because they're awesome.
Yes.
So take that, all you stupid people.
We watch an awful lot of 3D movies.
Yeah.
And those little 3D glasses that you get in the theater, they squeeze your head, and they give you a headache, and they're tiny, and they're dark, and I hate them. And now I don't hate 3D movies anymore.
Yeah. And they're wonderful because I tried them out on the Avengers. We got the Avengers for Christmas as a Christmas for family present.
Yep.
And we watched 3D Avengers and it looked awesome.
Oh.
And what's nice, because I actually have a nice pair like that, but they're not made for fitting over other glasses. My wife wears them and they fit fine because she doesn't wear glasses. But the ones you got me, they wrap around my glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're so nice.
Oh.
So we're going to be watching a 3D festival in our home this weekend.
Nice.
We've got a bunch of Disney. We got Brave, and then we just got our
Frank and Weenie,
which is, you know, spoiler alert, that's going to be talked about soon. Not tonight, I don't think.
No, next week.
I'm so disorganized. I learned something over Christmas. I don't know if I said this last week, but being a parent is exhausting.
Really?
At Christmas. It is exhausting.
Yeah, that's why, like I
said,
I am pretty sure that from now on we're going to start celebrating Christmas in the end of January.
Yeah.
Because then I have time for it, and I have the energy, and it's not in the middle of award season.
Yeah.
And really, I have nothing better to do. And everything's on sale after Christmas.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
Well, and we had a great idea during the break. Was it during the break? No, it was during the break.
Yes.
That we need to dress up in Halloween costumes and go trick-or-treating at Christmas.
I think that would be fun.
Like start, like have like a costume on top of the costume and be like, we're carolers.
This is getting more and more elaborate.
Be like, oh, here we come, a carol. They open the door, they're like, no, I'm a werewolf, I'm going to eat you.
I could get into that.
I think that would be awesome.
That is a new Christmas tradition.
I want people to remember
that.
And that's
your Christmas traditions in your family.
You know what I am? I am moving forward on my beefcake calendar for next year.
Oh, okay.
Did I tell you about this?
No.
No,
I just heard about the CD that we're putting out.
We are going to be doing a Christmas CD next year.
That's
this
what
is
I
another
hear.
This is another project. These are things that are going to happen.
Really? They're really going to happen.
Well, no, I'm putting together a Kickstarter campaign for a beefcake calendar with me posing in all my glory, and I'll like have like really muscular guys around me.
Nice.
And it'll be like me as a fireman, you know, and it'll be 12 months, you know. But I'm going to do a Kickstarter campaign.
Okay.
And so people can donate money if they want to see me in a beefcake calendar.
Okay.
I'm sure
good
you're
going
to be right on front of that, aren't you?
I will so be donating money to that one. Because I kind of would like to see it. I think it would be funny. Although I don't want a copy. Please.
You're just like, just.
I don't want one.
I'll fund it.
I just want you to do it and then stop talking about it.
Because if you don't fund it, if you don't help fund it, I will give you a copy for Christmas.
And you'll just keep talking about it.
And I'll be like, hey, look at my phone screensaver. It's me in a waterfall. Anyways, speaking of waterfalling
or moving. So, we have movies to talk about today.
Let's talk about The Impossible or The Impossible. No, it's The Impossible.
You're doing a French thing again.
I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe French?
It's after award season.
A family struggles to... What? Do you have something to say?
You know, you kept mocking me about how I was reacting to you last week with Les Miserables. But seriously, stand in front of a mirror and do that. Then we'll talk.
You mean that whole thing?
Yeah.
That was fun. That's how I say it all the time. That's why I do radio,
time,
not television right
next
now.
Next time, do it in front of a mirror.
I will.
And then we'll discuss why I was laughing through the whole thing.
Anyways, in The Impossible, a family struggles to reunite after being caught in the 2004 Boxing Day tsunami.
The most scary bit for me.
When the water hit.
When I came up. That was all on my own. And then I saw the two of you. I didn't feel so scared anymore. If Mummy and Lucas are on their own right now, I'm gonna keep looking for them.
One love.
I'm scared.
One life.
I'm scared too.
This is one of those movies that we get every award season.
It's a laugh riot.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's one of those movies that you know you have to watch, but you don't really want to.
Kind of like Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Right. For a completely different reason. Because you know that it's just going to be gut-wrenching. And it is. Mm. It's really effective in that way. Mm. It is a gut-wrenching movie from beginning to end. And you know, it's really well done. The performances are really good. Naomi Watts is good. Tom Holland, who plays her son, is remarkable for a young actor. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it is exhausting to watch.
Yeah.
And it is 2 hours of just devastation. And after a while, it's devastating. You know, it's too much after a while.
No, I hear you. The thing is, I agree. The performances are fantastic. Mm-hmm. They all do a good job. But it is that tip. It's such an award bait movie.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, let's tug at the heartstring. And at times they go a little bit overboard.
Oh yeah, they drag it out with a few things.
We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. But here's the problem that I have. And this is, I'm normally not like this. I normally don't point this kind of thing out. But it did really strike me with this. If you go to Wikipedia or something like that and you look at the death tolls of the of the nations, that it's like, you're like, Sweden, 5, you know, not to belittle any of these deaths, but, you know, there's some horrible, it's a horrible thing that happened. Uh-huh. I mean, like, Sweden, 5, the UK, 20, you know, and all this. And there's, like, you know, Bangladesh, 500 million people got killed.
500 million?
Well, it wasn't that. But it was like 300,000 people got killed in the tsunami.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of them from the area. Most of them from... I think, was Bangladesh one of the big ones that got hit? Indonesia and Tahiti. Was it Tahiti? I'm not sure, but my geography's terrible.
Thailand is where this movie takes place.
That's where it is.
There's
Thailand.
That.
I knew it started with a T.
Yeah.
It wasn't Texas. But it's like, this movie is all the, like, non-white people seem to be doing okay.
It's true. They're the ones who are out there helping everybody, and you go to the hospital, and it's, like, all white people.
They're white people. It's sort of like The Impossible. We white people suffered the most kind of thing. And you're just like, no, I mean, there were entire families and villages that were wiped off the face of the earth with this thing. So it does kind of, I mean, and this is based on a true story. These are real people and this is really stuff that happened. So I'm not belittling that.
For me,
it does have an interesting
perspective. The thing that helped me is that I knew how the story ended.
Yeah. Well, you could look at it.
Right. So for me, that was okay because else... You know, going into it and not knowing and having that whole thing drag out, not knowing what's going to happen, would have made it even worse.
Yeah.
You know, it was exhausting and upsetting enough as it was. Yep. It was okay knowing that, you know, I know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
So.
And that's fine. And it wasn't as gut-wrenching as some movies. I don't think it was as manipulative. It gets manipulative.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't like another one, like Compliance, which was just an infuriating movie because you're just like, no, you're an idiot. Stop it. Just, whoa. That was my review of Compliance.
I can imagine.
Should I do that in front of a mirror?
Yes, you should probably do that in front of a mirror, too. You kind of look like the Hulk when you do that.
I do? Do I turn green?
No, you turn bright red.
Do my shorts get really tight and turn purple?
No.
Not yet. I'm not wearing shorts. Well, I am wearing shorts under my pants.
Okay. Well, good to know. Thank you for sharing.
Anyway, we have a listener email, but we're going to have to read it on the other side of the break because we're pretty much running out of time here.
Yeah, so, we talk too much.
What do you think? The Impossible?
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks for me. I'm giving it a pass, even though it's just white people that got it. All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, Promised Land, the box office. And you're back with Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
You assume that they're back.
They better. If they're listening, they're back.
Not
if you're
be.
Not listening, you've turned it off, and so who cares?
Yeah.
No, I
it
care.
It happens.
Must
I'm
listen.
Pretty sure.
Speaking of listeners, we have a listener email. This is from Thomas from Seattle.
Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. Hope you and your family are having a good holiday season. Well, we were over that. It's exhausting. We're tired. We're ready to get back. But thank you, anyways. It was wonderful.
We tried.
My question, can you think of another director who has made a giant leap from journeyman director to auteur so late in their career like Kathryn Bigelow seems to have made? I have always liked her, but I didn't think the critics... but I don't think the critics or the Oscars really noticed her until The Hurt Locker. That's true, because she was making movies like Strange Days.
Yep.
I mean, and like K-19, The Widowmaker. I mean, these were not movies that
were movies with Keanu Reeves.
Point Break.
Yeah.
She was Point Break. How did that not win an Oscar?
I don't know.
What's up, Academy?
Anyway.
It's with Keanu and like Patrick Swayze. With the crazy surfer hair.
Ah, the good old days.
I mean, she was been around for a long. She did Near Dark. Wasn't that one of her first movies? Like in the 80s or late 70s?
I mean, she's up there.
Yeah.
She's
been around. I don't know. I mean, I think there are. I mean, like Sam Raimi is another good example of one. I mean, he became a serious director. But he was
That's
doing
true.
Stuff like Evil Dead. And
he still does pretty crazy stuff.
He does crazy
but,
stuff
you
now.
You know, he also does Spider-Man movies.
But even like Wes Craven, he did that violin movie, didn't he? Didn't he do that violin movie with Meryl Streep, Music from the Heart or something like that?
I don't know, but that sounds strange.
Yeah, Wes Craven, a lot of directors will do that. They'll drop in an award-type film.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, same thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He was huge.
That's the one example that I was thinking of.
People never thought he was going to win an Oscar.
No.
And he's got two of them. I've got a signed letter from Steven Spielberg.
I know you do, and I'm so jealous.
Isn't that cool?
It is very cool.
That's the thing now. They send that to the Broadcast Film Critics Association. And he signed them all because I compared it to somebody else's. And it's not the exact same signature, so it wasn't done by machine.
I need to join that organization just so I can get signed letters from Steven Spielberg, because then I will hang them on my wall.
I've got two of them. I got one from last year. And I got one from David O. Russell and Scott Rudin.
Did they sign them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they did. And, somebody else.
Did David O. Russell yell at you before he signed it?
He
did he call you names?
I wanted him
in the letter.
Me. I should write him back and go, why aren't you yelling at me? I got a photocopied letter from Sally Field.
Nice.
Anyways.
Sally needs to step up her game.
That's right. We need to step up our game and talk about Promised Land.
Okay.
All right. What's Promised Land about?
Promised Land. Matt Damon stars as a down-to-earth natural gas salesman.
Matt Damon.
Who finds himself battling a slick environmentalist, played by John Krasinski, for the natural resources lingering beneath a small rural town.
I am happy to announce we will be bringing natural gas to McKinley.
You sign this lease, it gives us the right to drill on your land.
A whole lot of money down there.
That is true.
How much you think?
There's no reason your town shouldn't have a state-of-the-art high school.
What kind of money are you talking about?
You could be a millionaire.
Research say anything about an environmental presence here?
No.
Hi, everybody. I'm here because my farm is gone. The land just turned brown and it died. If it's happened to one of us, it can happen to all of us.
What did you think of this fracking movie?
Fracking. You know, to me, it was about the characters.
Okay.
You know, the story, it's been done a million times before. It's big business, it's the little guy. It's big business, it's the little guy.
Kind of felt like Aaron Brockovich, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that kind of movie. To me, it was about the characters, though.
Okay.
I really appreciated the play on the good versus evil story.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, you have Matt Damon, who works for big business. Matt Damon.
I have to say that every time. It's a contractual obligation.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Shall I pause
whenever
I say Matt
Damon?
No,
just keep talking.
Okay.
You'll hear it in the background.
Okay, so he plays, you know, the big... I didn't say it. He plays, you know, this guy who's from this big corporation who's trying to get the money from the little guy. And you know, he's supposed to be the character that you just can't stand.
Mm.
But he's Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Thank you. And you can't help but love this guy. He's so sincere. And yeah, he's a salesman and he's doing his thing. But he's a likable guy.
It's a real anti-hero take on the whole
thing. And then you have John Krasinski, who's supposed to be the environmentalist, who's coming in to save the day. And he is so slick and smarmy. And you're like, oh, I hate that guy.
Kind of a dill hole, yeah.
He is. Can we say that on the radio?
I don't know.
Okay,
Do they know what it means? I don't even know what it means.
I don't know.
All right.
It seems like something we couldn't say on the radio. But you just did. So I guess, you know.
They said it on that 70s show all the time.
Okay, well, then it's okay.
All right.
So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing because usually, you know, you walk into a movie like this and you know who the good guy and the bad guy is.
Yeah.
But this was a twist on it, and I appreciated that one.
I did. I like that, too. And mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of Gus Van Sant. Some of his movies...
Yeah, I can take him or leave him.
I loved Milk. I thought Milk was a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. I thought Good Will Hunting was... I thought it was ridiculous what he did with Psycho. And then he did a Hansen video. So this guy's all over the map.
Why not?
You know, so... you're right. I totally agree with you on that. It's that it had a different angle.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it brought the main character as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that. And what's funny is there's several aspects I really did like about it. I don't think it got too preachy, at least in the first two thirds of it.
No.
It stayed away from shaking, you know, wagging its finger at the audience and talking down. And the other thing I appreciated, because I got family, most people have family from rural areas. Mm-hmm. And especially in Hollywood, they tend to really look down on anybody who's not in New York or L.A.
Especially anybody who lives in Ohio.
Yeah.
Iowa.
And they make them like they, you know, they got no teeth and like, I'm a redneck, blah, blah, blah.
I live in a barn. I don't know about you.
I've seen you got a nice barn, though.
Well, you know. Yeah. We upgraded.
That's true. But anyways, they have, these people are not stupid people. There are some that are not too smart. There's one guy played by Luke, what's his name? He's a real redneck. He's the, hey, yeah, we're partners now, boy. Right. You know, and they got
but
that.
But you find those in New York and L.A. too.
They're all over the place.
I've been there.
And then you have one, there's one scene where he's talking to a farmer and you just think this guy's going to be spitting tobacco and has no teeth.
Yeah.
And the guy looks that part, but he brings up some very cogent points and suddenly he's very intelligent. You're just like, oh, because I know people like that. I've got family like that. And so I appreciated that. And then you get to the third act and the entire movie kind of just, it hits a bump and flips over and completely jackknifes across the freeway.
And you and I have had discussions about how this movie should end. And we don't agree completely on how this movie should have ended.
There's a giant land shark would have been really awesome.
Okay, yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take a giant land shark.
Land shark eating people.
Yeah. I'll take the land shark.
That would have been so cool. Now I really want to see that.
But yeah.
Roger Corman, get on that. Promised Land versus Mega Shark.
I think we both agree that the end is no good.
Yeah. It
for
it
different
goes,
reasons, yeah.
It goes weirdly Hollywood.
Yes.
And by that, I mean it just becomes a little unbelievable and a little contrived.
To me, it just, I was okay with the unbelievable part. Okay. I like that. But in the end, it drags it out a little longer than
that's
it should.
True.
And that's when it gets preachy.
Yeah.
And
it does get very preachy.
It gets weaker in the end. And it could have ended on such a strong note, and it doesn't.
No. You're right. So that's where it could have been a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's part of what he did with Milk, because I think Milk was, it had its preachy moments, but it presented the story.
Yep.
And just was like, well, there you go. And that's what I felt that they were doing here. And then it doesn't.
Right.
And that's what it sort of snatches defeat out of the hand of victory. Snatches something out of somebody's hand.
It's snatching things out of somebody's hand.
So anyways, official fat guy's grade.
It kind of rocks.
I'm going to say kind of sucks.
Mm.
I was a little more let down by this.
Okay.
So because of Matt Damon. Matt Damon. He wrote it.
He did, as did John Krasinski. Yeah. They worked together. And he was going to direct it originally.
That's true. And then Ben Affleck is like, hey, the heck with you guys, Good Will Hunting people. Look at me. I got a big Oscar. I'm going to be winning Oscars.
I made Argo. What have you done lately?
I got a beard. I'm Mexican. Can't you tell?
Nice.
Because his character's Mexican in Argo.
He is.
Even though he's from Boston.
It's true.
He's Irish or something. I don't know. Anywho, box office. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. We got about a minute left. What do you think is going to win the box office?
Oh.
You think it's going to be The Hobbit again?
I think so.
Really?
I'm going to give it to The Hobbit.
What do you think The Hobbit's going to make?
Well,
get my pen
see.
And write
it
this
made
down.
A 30, 32. I'll give it 22.
Hobbit with 22 million. I am going to say Texas Chainsaw. 3D.
I have more faith in humanity than you do.
And I'm going to give it a big fat $30 million. And here's why. The Devil Inside came out last year.
It's true. And it was huge.
It made like 30 some million dollars. And it was the worst movie of the year. One of them.
I did actually do a little bit of research and looked into that. And I was like, that's an anomaly.
I don't know. It could be. But I think the 3D bump is going to help. And the fact that it's been a horror movie. So that's my prediction. We'll see what happens next week. At this point, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yay. I'm sorry I wasn't very enthusiastic.
That was kind of half-hearted.
You're like, what? Go back and try that again.
Let's try that again.
Very much rejoicing.
Yay. So, we have talked about some of the movies that are coming out this week.
That's
and,
right.
You know, there's not a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. Because it's January.
It's January.
This is what I like to call the movie dead zone.
It is. Well, it but is. See, there's two movie dead zones in the year.
Yes.
It's in January and September.
August.
You're saying, well, you know what? August. It starts in August, but August is
August
actually...
August has actually grown recently.
Since
it's
about, like...
better the last few years.
2006, 2007. Cause, like,
that's true.
Because, like, a lot of times, like, you get, like, The Dark Knight. Like, 2008 was a great, interesting thing about July and August.
Okay.
Dark Knight came out right at the end of July,
mm-hmm.
and it rolled into August. But you also had stuff like... like Tropic Thunder in August.
Yes.
And you're seeing bigger movies.
We've been getting
movies.
Some surprises in August lately.
I think what they do is they're dropping movies that they don't think can compete necessarily with the big summer movies. Like Bourne Legacy this past year
mm-hmm.
was an August movie. It was early August. But it's like Labor Day in September.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really kills you. The difference between September and January, in my mind, is at least you have the rollover of holiday films that open on Christmas.
It's true. There are a few still showing that, you know, will pop up in limited release around this time. So,
whereas, like, September, you don't have the stuff rolling back from July, because that's pretty much played its course.
Yep.
Played its course. Played its course.
Whatever.
I guess I'm using a golf analogy at this point. But yeah, so, and you also have award films, and you got award season, you got the Oscars coming up, so there's a little more excitement in January. But in the regular theaters, there's, but you know what, I don't know, like The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm dying to see that. It is going to be a giant turd sandwich.
I'll eat that.
But I totally want to see it. It just looks so bad, but so awesome at the same time.
It's true, I agree. It looks awesomely bad.
Whereas like Parker with David's, not David Strathairn. That would be an interesting
nice.
Choice.
Jason
Statham. And Jennifer Lopez, I'm like, I don't know about that one. I may have to drink before I see that.
There are a lot of movies in January that we need to drink before we watch them. It's just the nature of January.
January has some
and into February. And these are the times when we get the screenings that are really crazy. Like, people get really angry and violent. I'm like, look, it is January. You are seeing a horrible movie.
Yeah.
Stop getting so worked up about it.
Yeah. People, you need to just calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down!
Little Christmas spirit. Come on.
I don't know what that was I was chanting.
I don't know what that is either. Let's just move on.
Yeah, so you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and let's talk about what's coming up next. What are we going to talk about now?
It is time for the DVD roundup.
That's right. Yeehaw! Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep those doggies rolling. Watch those movies. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, you should probably work on that and get a better theme song for next week.
Write this down, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Better theme song.
Here's the deal, people. As you remember, last week we were talking about, like, two movies that released on Christmas
The Words.
Day. The Words and The Room in Blu-ray.
Yes.
There's not a whole
We've
lot that's
pretty much got the same thing this week.
Yeah, it's because it was like New Year's Day when it was. And I think they released them on Monday, the 31st.
Yes.
Because Best Buy doesn't open on New Year's Day, apparently, or whatever.
The internet is closed on New Year's Day. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, but see, everyone's got gift cards and that sort of thing. So if they really want to, there's a couple out there. Let's talk, you know, Cosmopolis.
Yes.
Did you see that?
No, I did not.
I did not.
No.
I didn't.
It looks crazy. I watched the trailer.
I kept wanting to get a screener when it was open locally,
mm-hmm.
but I was too lazy to.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's my New Year's confession. I could always Redbox it, I guess.
It's true.
I probably should.
Do you think Redbox would have it?
Well, here's the thing. It's up for an award that I'm voting on. I vote in the OFCS, and I think the OFCS nominated it.
Really?
Maybe I'll stop at the old...
brick
and mortar video store where they got the porno videos.
Nice.
And I'll just ignore it. I'll be like, I was supposed to get Cosmopolis, but I got 17 porno films. I better watch those.
Not so family video.
No. That's all that's left now. Any brick and mortar stores pretty much has a back room.
I wasn't aware of that, but thank you for letting me know.
That's where I go.
Okay.
I mean, not to rent that stuff. I mean, there's an internet for crying out loud. Why would I want to put on pants and get off the couch? Seriously.
Okay, so anyway, moving right along, let's talk about movies and not your pants.
Yes, what else have we got coming out?
We also have Looper.
That came out.
Which was Rian Johnson.
Yep.
And starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And we all know how I feel about Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Are you think he's an actor of the year? Because we have in the Kafka Awards, we have actor of the year category. Is he one that you would put in there?
I would, and I did.
Really?
I did.
Is he the one you voted for top?
I don't know. I may have voted for a couple for top because there are some good ones this year.
You know who the two that I actually voted as my top ones for the Kafka Awards was
Matthew McConaughey,
and Channing Tatum, of all people.
Was he nominated?
Yeah.
Okay, because I did put him on my nominations.
Each one of them was funny is whenever they list, because in the Kafka Awards, we always have the
And all of the films that they did in this year.
Yeah, and so they may not be nominated. Like, Jennifer Lawrence was nominated. She was for, like, Silver Linings Playbook and The Hunger Games. And House at the End of the Street.
In there, too.
Yeah, so, even though I hated Magic Mike and I did not like The Vow, I mean, Channing Tatum did, you know, he's in Haywire, 21 Jump Street, he was really good in. And I give him props for Magic Mike.
That man can dance, yeah. Let me tell you.
He almost looks as good as I do without my shirt off.
It's true.
I have a feeling you're lying to me. But the thing
I'm just trying to be nice.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, it's like I liked the movies he was in. I just didn't think he really wowed me. I mean, I thought he was kind of soft in The Dark Knight Rises.
It wasn't his best year.
Yeah.
But I do really respect him as an actor. Well, I think he's a really talented actor. And
like last year when he did 50-50, I thought he was fantastic in 50-50. It's just, in like Premium Rush, he was good, and I love Premium Rush, but he was just the disposable, good-looking young guy in that movie. So. But he did Looper. Looper was good.
Looper was very good. Yeah.
And you can get that on video right now.
Yes, you can.
In case you were wondering. There's also two TV shows. There's Being Human Season 2, which is from the Sci-Fi Channel,
mm-hmm.
or Sci-Fi,
Woo-hoo.
Which is what they call themselves now. I'm hip with the lingo with the young kids.
Nice.
And Justified Season 3, that came out last week, actually, along with Looper.
Looper came out on the 31st.
Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just movies.
No.
There's really no stinker because there's just so few films coming out.
It's true.
So, but since you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, we thought we'd talk a little bit about, in the DVD segment and Blu-ray segment, what our favorite releases from 2012 were. So you can spend your gift card on them.
Of course. You can start with this one because you've got some good ones on the list.
I have like the tons of box sets.
You do.
There were some really cool box sets. Of course, Leading the Pack's Bond 50.
Of course.
I mean, come on. James Bond. 22 Bond
films. Come on. Forget about it.
If you wait for the deals, you can get it for like $100 or $150, which is a fantastic
nice.
Deal. Yeah. And I know it was selling periodically as gold box deals of the day. Right before Christmas. I don't know if it's going to go down that low again, but it might. There's also the Alfred Hitchcock collection, which came out, which is like 15 of his films, his best films. The Kubrick collection that came out this year, which is like all of his movies.
Nice.
I think it's like missing, Paths of Glory or something like that from when he was young. And there's the Dark Knight trilogy. That's
right.
In a Blu-ray set.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Universal Monster films, which we've talked about before recently on the show. And Harry Potter. Didn't the Harry Potter, like, 8-disc set come out?
Oh, they came out with, like, 14 different box sets.
A million
Just a,
of them.
A variety of different box sets for your different choices.
I ended up with one of those.
Did you?
Yeah, I got it sent as a gift from Warner Brothers or something.
Well, that's nice of them.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So anyways, what else do you, what were your some of your favorite DVD and Blu-ray sets?
Well, for me, it's been a lot of the Disney 3D movies that have come out. So we've had Finding Nemo and Up, and then, you know, the recent releases as well. But, you know, how fun is it to watch Up in 3D or Finding Nemo in 3D? So
and the new ones that are coming out, too. You know,
yes.
Brave and the Toy Story sets.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those, I think, came out in 3D earlier.
Yeah, I think that was last year.
I love the fact that there's 3D in the home, too. And you know what's neat? They're remastering stuff like they did remastered for theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it on DVD and Blu-ray, like Dial M for Murder. You can get it in true 3D, and you can do that with they're coming out with a remastered Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice.
So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you want to hit?
Well, you know, the standards, the Hunger Games, Avengers, things like that.
The cool ones, the Avengers.
Yes.
Especially with the
the fancy 3D glasses.
Or with the briefcase that they were sued over. You heard about that, didn't you?
No. What happened with the briefcase?
It was originally the big Avengers set that had all the movies in it had the briefcase that the Tesseract was in.
Nice.
But the guy who designed it sued them because he said you had the right to use it in the film, but you didn't have the right to use the design for packaging.
Oops.
So they had to resolve that. I think it comes out this summer.
Okay.
So if you bought it then, there you
well,
go.
Well, totally getting one of those.
Or the 17 versions of Game of Thrones. Because they had like
Witch's
head on a lance or something like that.
Okay.
Anyways, review wrap up. Texas Chainsaw 3D, Preemptive Suck. The Impossible, we both said kind of rocked.
Yep.
And Promised Land, you said kind of rocked. I said kind of sucks.
Yes.
Our box office predictions, I say Texas Chainsaw at $30 million for next week. You said The Hobbit at $22
million. Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Gangster Squad, Haunted House, and Zero Dark 30. And until then, we'll see you later.
See ya.